Hey, everybody, welcome back to Viewing Angles, the only movie podcast on the face of the earth. I'm Dan Leo, and with me, as always,
is Robert Mackey.
And we're here. We're going to give you the fastest news in moviedom. That was stupid.
Gotta go fast.
Today is the Sonic episode. We're coming a little bit late, but
yeah,
we all have
a lot
of...
We're not Sonic. We don't eat chili dogs.
The only appropriate way to do a Sonic episode was to come in about like a week late.
Yeah.
But it still works out because...
What else
came Sonic
out?
Is still dominating the box office.
Exactly.
Sonic still coming in at number one at 26.2 million this weekend. It's worldwide $204 million already.
Fucking wild.
It's getting a sequel.
This is a franchise now. Yeah, this is
officially
a
franchise.
The first video game franchise that we're going to get. Video game movie franchise that we're going to get.
Would you consider Resident Evil a video game franchise?
You're right. That's true. Fuck those movies, though. Those movies are awful.
I think there's also multiple Silent Hill movies as well.
There were two, but the second one was like kind of a remake, but not really. I don't know.
In the same way that Evil Dead 2 is a remake?
That's weird. Don't compare those two.
it's funny. I think Sonic is the first mainstream success.
Yeah, I think I wonder how much the Resident Evil movies made. Like, were they blockbusters like Sonic is, or were they just made on an extremely shoestring budget?
I bet it was the latter. I bet these were very, like, shoestring budget.
Yeah. Because, like, Sonic, they actually, like, there's some passion behind it. Like, they redid the Nightmare Sonic CG model for this movie. They didn't have to do that. They could have just put it out there and lost all their money.
The first Resident Evil had a worldwide box office in 2002, mind you, of $102 million, which is not nothing. That's like an R-rated like video game movie.
Yeah.
On a budget of $33 million. So they invested a decent amount and it had five sequels.
Yeah.
Five sequels. And so
insanity. You ever seen any of those movies?
I feel like I've seen all of them and none of them.
Yeah, just like on TV.
Yeah, it looks like they all like they steadily like were making more and more money. Jeez, yeah, the fourth one, Resident Evil Afterlife, made $300 million.
Dude, what the fuck? I had no idea.
Yeah, that's the third one. Yes, no, jeez, five sequels. So there's five.
Yeah,
there's six total Resident Evil movies.
How did these movies succeed? These are not good movies. I've seen at least two of them.
I think, I've seen at least two in full. I think I've seen Apocalypse and the first one. I've seen a decent amount of Extinction. I don't even know what Afterlife could be about. I think she dies in Extinction.
Probably. And then comes back in Afterlife.
Right.
That
and then there's
sense.
Two more movies after that.
I think one of them is just called The Final Chapter.
Yeah, Resident Evil, The Final Chapter. One of these was billed as a 3D movie.
Oh, boy.
So up until the last one still made $312 million on a $40 million budget. So these movies are still successful.
I'm surprised they didn't make another one after that.
Yeah, I think it was just like people...
They're saving it for the reboot.
Yeah, honestly, it was... the final chapter was in 2016. The one before it was in 2012. So honestly, we're due.
These movies were coming out while we were in college still.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
This came out the year we graduated.
Fuck.
That's terrifying,
the
right?
The final chapter. Man. I kind of want to watch those now.
Yeah, now that would be a good rewatch. A good
series. If they do a reboot, we can do a Resident Evil rewatch. Stay tuned. Subscribe on Spotify for that.
We'll have a Resident Evil Run the Series podcast exclusive to Spotify.
Podcast,
nobody can stop
podcast
us.
Afterlife.
Yeah. Speaking of bringing long dead works of art to life, The Call of the Wild came in number two, which did better, I think, than expected at $24 million.
It's called The Public Domain. The long dead works of art.
Yeah, is The Call of the Wild in public domain?
It has to be, right?
Ah, who's
it's
to say?
Be.
London?
It's got to be. Even if it is, they probably shouldn't have made this movie.
I mean, it's working. Yeah, 1903. So this is definitely in the public domain.
Yeah. I read the book when I was a boy, a wee boy.
What is it about?
It's about this dude and a wolf that he befriends. So I don't know. I don't know why it's like a dog in this movie. But this man and a wolf like become buddies and the dude dies. Like, I just remember, that's how I remember the book ending. Spoilers for a 100-plus-year-old book. But right. Harrison
it feels like all Jack London stories end with a guy dying. Yeah. Like an awful death.
Yeah, he dies, and then the wolf is just kind of like, oh, I'm free. I'm free from the domesticity of man. I'm like, that's now the I call can... of the wild.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
so I'm wondering, like, this movie does not look like that at all. So
it looks like a fun adventure movie. It, well, it's but also a Disney. Any, it follows the... Well, it goes reverse now, because usually the pattern is that if there's a dog on the cover, the dog is going to die.
Yeah.
But now the man is on the cover and the man dies.
Well, honestly, if you told me that in this movie, like, the dog dies and Harrison Ford just becomes like a wildling out in the Alaskan wilderness, I'd believe it. Because the trailers look nothing like the book.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, it looks like just a romp, just a nice
with like a
adventure
weird
movie.
Ass CG dog.
Yeah, did you see the behind the scenes footage of the guy in mocap?
Release the cut without the CG. Just give me Harrison Ford acting along this dude in a mocap suit pretending to be a dog.
That's all I really want.
Yeah, I want that more than the Snyder cut.
It could still happen, I think. Yeah.
Time to start some petitions, baby.
Yeah, those will always work. And coming to number three, with this pretty decent drop-off, is Birds of Prey.
60%.
And the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
So we're at a worldwide of about $173 million with a budget of $84 million. I mean, you say, like, there's no way the marketing budget was $60 million on this.
Yeah, so this movie's making money. This movie's profitable from box office alone, not even including any of the merchandising that they got out of this. So I feel like WB is probably okay. Like, they must have known going in with an R rating and a sequel to a movie that nobody liked, returns were going to be tough. Like, this was more of a proven grounds moment for them. But Harley Quinn is also coming back in the Suicide Squad. So
yeah, we'll see. I wonder if that will affect, because all I've heard about the Suicide Squad is that it will be rated R.
Yes.
That it will be along the same lines of Birds of Prey. And I wonder if could you imagine the Birds of Prey movie being PG-13? I feel like it wouldn't have been that much of a stretch to do that.
Yeah, it would have been fine. I'm like, I think
besides
it was
the guy who cuts off people's faces.
There's that. And then I think that, you know, like the kill, some of the kills were pretty great, then could only be done rated R. Like, Black Mask getting blown up is fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
I would have been very disappointed if they cut that out of the movie, because that was like the most cathartic moment for me. It was just like, holy shit, that was brutal. Like,
yeah. So I wonder if it being PG-13 would have made a difference. It feels like it was baked into the movie, but also we heard the same thing about Venom. We saw how they cut around that.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm still decently excited for the Suicide Squad.
It's James Gunn. Like, of course,
yeah,
I'm
more excited
watch
about
it.
James Gunn than I am about the property. I still haven't seen the original Suicide Squad.
You
so.
Really don't need to. But I'm very excited to see. I just want to see who the fuck Pete Davidson is playing in this movie.
I bet he gets murdered immediately.
I hope so. I think that's just his thing.
Is Pete Davidson talented? Have we overblown Pete Davidson's like
I think he's funny.
Capital?
He's like funny enough, you know, his dad died in 9/11. So,
right. That's the I mean, and I enjoy him to a certain extent, but I don't know why he's so famous. Mainly because of Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande definitely helped. I think like he was also he stood out in the SNL crowd. Like, he seemed like he was more noticeable than just like your standard, like, funny white man that is part of.
He is the youngest person to ever be on the SNL cast.
Yeah, and I do think that his sense of humor is a lot darker and more deadpan than a lot of traditional comedians. So I think, like, he's kind of earned his place. But I do think that the whole Ariana Grande thing, like, definitely catapulted him into a realm of fame that he wouldn't have made it on, at least not this early on his own.
Right. It exposed him to a whole new demographic of people.
Oh, yeah. Like Ariana Grande fans, probably little to no crossover with Pete Davidson.
Right. Yeah. Until SNL fans happened. And Ariana yeah. Grande fans. Yeah. Definitely not the same. Okay. Well, that's it for the box office. Let's get into some of the highs, the lows, and the toss-ups of the week. The high is Mulan is PG-13.
Yeah.
Rob, so, talk to me about what Mulan means to you. I think you fucking love this movie.
I love Mulan. I love the original. This movie, I kind of feel weird putting this as the high because I'm not, I can't see this movie. I'm going to have to see this movie. I can't see this movie. Because the star who plays Mulan was straight up calling for Hong Kong protesters to be murdered in the street by police. So
yeah.
Fuck her. Fuck this movie. Fuck Disney's pandering to a Chinese market. But at the bare minimum, I'm happy to see that it is rated PG-13 and that like we're at least getting a proper like House of Flying Daggers, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon type action movie from this property.
Yeah, it is interesting, like the politics behind Mulan, as because I feel a similarly strange sense of uneasiness with seeing China being glorified like this. Yeah. And not, you know, obviously there's plenty of movies that glorify the U.S. and their, you know, a colonialism and conquest.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that those movies don't age very well. And the best movies about those aspects demonstrate the gray area and the they draw like a moral line of that this is bad in showing it.
Yeah, we're not gonna get there with Mulan.
Yeah, so Mulan is the story of, because I still haven't seen it, I know.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the story of the Huns versus one of the dynasties.
Yeah, so it's the Huns come in. I mean, that's like the backdrop, the conflict. The Huns are invading China. But the main character Mulan is a girl whose father, like the army conscripts every one man from every family in the country. And since Mulan's family had, two daughters, the father was going to have to go fight, but he's like old and frail. He's got like a jank knee. And mm-hmm. if he went to go fight, he was going to die. So Mulan like cuts her hair and goes in place of her father and pretends that she's a boy. To get into this army and train with the men. And there's a lot of like super gay subtext because the fucking commander of the squad falls in love with her before he knows that she's a girl. But it's about how she ends up saving the country from the Huns, all in disguise as a man. It eventually comes out at the end that she's a woman. And
so are the Huns the Mongols or?
Yeah, they're the Mongols, essentially.
Oh, okay. Because the Mongols eventually conquer China. That's part of the story. Is this the time of Kublai Khan? Like when generally is this? I guess
I don't remember if it's Kublai Khan or if this guy's supposed to be Genghis Khan. I don't remember who the main villain is in the cartoon. I haven't seen it in a while. And like I don't actually know what the legend is of Mulan, because I know like Hua Mulan is like a famous myth in China.
Yeah,
I don't know like how accurate the Disney version of it is, because I know that Disney's clearly not that accurate when it comes to adapting like old folk tales and fairy tales. So it's probably nothing like the actual myth is probably nothing like I just described. I was just describing the cartoon. There's also a dragon.
You're right. Voiced by Eddie Murphy.
Yes. Who's not in this movie. So I'm like, there's no music. The music is like one of the best parts of the original Mulan. Eddie Murphy's performance is great. None of that is in this movie. I'm like, this better have some great fucking action to make up for the lack of musical style and cartoonish performances.
Yeah, it sounds like to me what you're saying is that they took out the best parts of the movie.
And then you're going to get a much Chinese more standard audience. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder if this will be good or if it'll be pretty obviously pandering to a Chinese audience.
I wonder what the box office performance is going to be like for this film.
In the US and in China?
I'm curious about both, because I wonder if Chinese people are just going to be like, no, fuck you fucking American companies trying to like take our myths and turn it into your own. And I wonder if U.S. people are just going to be like, I mean, the U.S. audience is probably going to go see it because the U.S. audience saw Lion King and Jungle Book, and every live action remake Disney's made has been hugely successful.
If Lion King made $1 billion, then people would go see fucking anything that is related to their childhood.
Yep. Nostalgia. Weaponized nostalgia. Fucking hate it.
This could be like one of the highest grossing movies of all time.
We'll see.
It has potential. If China like shows up for it, the question is, will the coronavirus have an effect on the box office? Probably, honestly.
Because as it continues to spread, just going to public places is going to be less and less appealing. I hope this movie is just actually good, though. Like, I want it to earn its spot as one of the highest grossing films of all time.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope that I was excited when I heard that this movie was, that it was a live action film without the music and without Mushu. And like, they wanted to make it more of like a Chinese kung fu film. I was like, okay, it's cool that this is not just a beat for beat remake like The Lion King was, except worse. So I'm hoping that this is, different enough to warrant its production.
Yeah, it does look different than the original cartoon, which is a benefit in this time of shameless reboots with no changes being made.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into the low. That's and this is a low and also kind of high, like Trump came out and said, why does this South Korean movie win Best Picture? And it's because he's an idiot.
Yeah, it's because he can't read.
the
response to that is so good. Like the distributor's response to Trump's comments, fucking great.
Right. And Neon Fate like tweeted out a response saying, of course he didn't like it. He can't read.
Yeah.
And it's just like, he doesn't care. Like he's probably not seen that many movies.
He saw Joker.
Yeah, he saw Joker.
If he even saw it, or if like his PR team was just like, just say he saw Joker and say that he liked Joker.
Yeah, it'll appeal to your base.
Yeah.
This is just dumb.
It just didn't have to happen. It's like, so one, that means that you were watching the Oscars, Trump, you fucking liberal.
Yeah, or someone described it to him.
Yeah. But it's just straight up, it's just racist. Like, you can't even hide it at this point. You know? Right,
yeah. He's just like, what is this, South Korea movie? Asian people? Huh?
Yeah. Asian people can't make good films.
Yeah, let's go back to Gone with the Wind. You know that movie that glorified the South?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. I wonder how calculated this all is, or if he's really just, like, spitballing.
I think he's completely spitballing and just going from like repeating things that he heard when he was a kid still.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I assume he's only like mostly been around like old rich white people.
Oh, absolutely.
So he knows how to speak that way. And he's just kind of reiterating what he's heard his entire life.
Yeah.
Which is why he never says I love you to anybody.
Yeah. I must've grown up around some fucking idiots.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure. Hey, shit's tough. All right, and the toss-up is that Bob Iger is going to be stepping down as Disney CEO.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere. And,
right, it came very, very abruptly. Because he's also doing this whole like press tour for like his book came out reasonably recently.
Yeah,
right. And then Bob Chapek, not sure, is named the new head. So, what do we think this means for Disney, Marvel, Fox, all of this?
I did some cursory research, and apparently he was the head of like Disney Parks beforehand.
Yeah.
And
consumer products business.
Yeah. People who are like the parks
merchandising.
Fans. Merchandising. Yeah. They've like Disney Parks fans fucking hate this guy. And they were like, someone on Reddit linked to like some of the Disney Parks forums. They're on fucking suicide watch because that he's the head of Disney now. They're like, yeah, this guy's like, he's the cheapest motherfucker. Like, he's the reason that all of these parks are going downhill. He's unwilling to spend any money for anything. And he's all about the bottom line. So I do wonder how this is going to affect Disney's film division.
Yeah, especially when you consider that profits for like the Disney, like the parks, are going up.
Yeah.
If people are who are fans of them are generally not a fan of this guy, that could I can only assume that if the thing that you love, if you really don't like the guy who's in charge of it, but he's able to make a lot of money, we could probably assume the same thing is going to continue happening as when he's the CEO of Disney, is that the people who like the things that he makes are not going to like him, but he's going to make a shit ton of money.
Yeah. So I have two predictions regarding like Disney films moving forward with this guy as the CEO. I think we either like all the Marvel films, all the Star Wars films, I think we start seeing those budgets reduced pretty drastically. So like no more $300 million Endgame type films. Maybe they'll be closer in line with like, you know, DC's $50 to $80 million superhero movies. There's a lot more product placement in all of Disney's films, like a shit ton of product placement.
Yeah, or things added just to create a possibility of a product.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like you thought the Porgs were bad in Last Jedi. Get ready for like whatever fucking Disney's version of Minions is going to be. One baby Yoda. Not enough. We need like 20 baby Yodas.
Right. I'm interested to see what this what happens. It seems like Iger really dealt with the expansion. And now since Disney Plus is all set up and the like the first great arc of the Marvel films has concluded, that now it's time for Iger to rest, do whatever he was going to do, you know, go Bob to Iger, private island or whatever.
Shout out to Bob Iger, though. I think he did do a fantastic job at handling Disney's expansion and making it, taking it like it from the shambles that it was in from Michael Eisner's reign as Disney CEO, and making it one of like, if not the most powerful media company on the planet.
It's for sure like the most powerful media company.
Yeah, they own Fox on the planet. Now.
Maybe like News Corp. Like, yeah,
man.
So we'll keep an eye on this for the future. But I am. It seems like this, like they've done the expansion and now it's time to make the real money.
Yeah.
Which terrifies me because they've already made so much.
Get ready for Disney Plus to go up to $20 a month.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, this could be like the ebb and flow. We were talking about the pendulum off mic earlier tonight. And this could be the great swing backward, is that he starts really like clamping down and making the money. And then the Disney brand kind of goes down a little bit. We enter another phase of, you know, what was the like the worst time for Disney? Probably between like the like 50s and like 80s.
Yeah, that was pretty low.
Yeah.
And then they had the Renaissance in the 90s.
Right. The Renaissance buying Pixar and all that.
Yep.
So I wonder if we could be headed for another series like that. The only, not the issue, but there's slightly more at stake now. Since they own all the Fox properties, all the Marvel properties, Star Wars. Like now, if they start kind of tanking a little bit, it'll affect so much more things, so many more things that people love.
I do hope, though, that if it does start tanking, that just opens up opportunities for new players to enter the field.
Yes, agreed.
That's the free market, baby.
That's the free market, baby. All right. Now enough of our astute financial analysis. Time to talk about
welcome the to movie Market of the Watch.
Week. Yeah. CNN Money is officially off. Mad Money, etc. We are going to be talking about Sonic the Hedgehog.
Gotta
the newest
fast.
Movie from Sega.
It's the only movie from Sega, right?
Yeah, exactly. But when they showed at the beginning of the movie, the little like the Sega title card,
yeah,
they had all the different games that Sega has ever done. Like, it got me thinking,
the Sega Cinematic Universe.
Are we gonna start seeing a shit ton more Sega games?
Yes.
After Sega games turn into movies
after this box office performance, absolutely.
What are some of Sega's like biggest games?
I mean, Sonic's probably the big one. They have their Yakuza franchise, which I love. Yeah. I would love to see them do a movie version of Yakuza. I actually don't really know what Sega's other big games are. Crazy Taxi, I guess, is one. Oh, that'd be a fun movie. That'd be like a, yeah, a comedic version. Yeah,
Jimmy Fallon and Queen Latifah.
Oh, Lord.
Get Do Pete, me a reboot,
put,
baby.
Put Pete Davidson and Zazie Beetz. I want that. I want them for the Crazy Taxi movie.
I would. I'd see that.
I'd see that too.
Yeah, I don't. Let's see if there's anything else. I just clicked in. Total War. That's one.
I guess.
Yeah, I can't really honestly see anything that's Phantasy Star is famous. Yeah,
they've been coasting on Sonic the Hedgehog for so fucking long.
Shenmue, Super Monkey Ball. Honestly. Yeah. I can't really see anything else that would work.
Give me a Super Monkey Ball game.
Yeah, a movie. And so Acquired, they've got Company Heroes, Warhammer. That's probably the next one.
Oh, that'd be dope.
A Warhammer game.
Dude, I'm so fucking into a Warhammer movie.
Are they doing a Warcraft
sequel? Dead or Alive. What's that?
Oh, Dead or Alive. Yeah, that could be for sure. Are they doing a Warhammer sequel? Or a Warcraft sequel, I mean?
No, I don't believe so. As much
Didn't
money
it make
as
money?
It made money, but I guess not enough money. I don't know. It really took off in the Chinese market. Didn't do that well domestically. So maybe like they will at some point, or they're just going to do a soft reboot that appeals more to a Chinese audience.
Mm.
But like the Warcraft movie, as much as I love it, it's a guilty pleasure. And I do think Duncan Jones did a pretty decent job directing it, but I think it felt chopped to hell. There's some weird cuts where it just felt like entire arcs of characters were missing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know if it was like a production thing or if like he just couldn't follow through on some of the things he was setting up. But I still like that movie. That's my guilty pleasure. Warcraft is fun.
It is so weird that they are that David Bowie's son
right.
did the World of Warcraft movie.
Right.
Very, very weird. But who's to say? So I think what we can ascertain from all of the conversation so far is that Sonic for sure will be getting a sequel.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone is maybe looking Dude, forward
they,
to it.
They set it up in the post-credits scene.
Yeah, they did when he finally assumed the mantle. How did you? So there's a lot of things going on with this movie. The first I think we have to mention is the controversy about Sonic's initial look.
Yeah.
And the fact that there was such public outcry about how Sonic looked too, I'll say, photorealistic.
Like a fucking nightmare.
Human teeth, man.
The human teeth.
Yeah, so in response to the public backlash to the trailer, everyone they pushed back the release date and they redid Sonic.
Yeah.
And it seems to have paid off.
Oh.
Because this movie made a butt ton of money.
Yeah, I think that was I don't think this movie would have made money without the redesign of Sonic because he looked like a fucking nightmare.
But I think it also put this like more into the public consciousness where.
Yes, that was honestly like it felt like free advertising, not free because they spent like $5 million to like redo the design. But I do think like in the end, it was a good PR move. It worked out for them. I also think it pushed them into a better time slot or a better release window. Because this was supposed to come out like in November last year.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
This is definitely a better time in the dumping ground of
right
of
after
February.
January. Yeah.
Yeah. Not very good. And it also like it didn't inflate the budget that much. This is still pretty low budget.
Yeah,
I think
because they they didn't pay the visual artists anything.
Right. They just had to work overtime.
Exactly.
And I think Jim Carrey was probably the thing that they spent the most on.
Yeah.
But also this movie is just very it seems low budget. And you can tell that. Because look at they've got Jim Carrey and then look at this like B-list secondary. They've got James Marsden of Westworld fame, Ben Schwartz of Parks and Rec fame. Like none of these people have carried a movie before.
No.
And
only
then
Carrey
Tika
has
Sumter,
carried a movie.
Yeah, who is somebody. I have never really seen her in anything.
Yep, that's it.
So they didn't really have to pay for anybody. Directed by Jeff Fowler. This guy has done like two movies before. So they really spent all their money on Jim Carrey. And he's kind of carrying the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I think
he is the best part of this movie.
Yeah. Is this movie. Okay. So with kids' movies, we obviously have yeah. few caveats. The main one is, the question is this a good movie? Is this a bad movie? Or is this a good movie for kids?
I think it's a good movie for kids.
I agree. I think the humor is weirdly self-referential, or not like weird pop culture humor.
Yeah. And like none of it felt terribly dated. Like clearly there was some shit that was like, okay, well you got that from the meme, but there's some bits in this movie that like, this is actually for the fans in like the best way. And the one that really gets me was the crazy dude who keeps on claiming that he sees Sonic. He like, yeah. when he pulls the drawing out, and it's like, it's straight up the Sonic meme, like the poorly drawn Sonic meme from the internet. I'm like, okay, that's how you work a meme into like the comedy of a movie. That didn't feel cringy at all. That was actually hilarious.
Yeah, it's funny. And it makes sense for the growth of the character, for him to be like, I have to stay hidden. I'm super fast. Let me just dick around.
Yeah, I think they did a fine job of like working in like, because like Sonic, I don't really think I'm not the biggest Sonic fan. I don't know if there's like a lore to this franchise, but like I know,
but how
like,
could there be?
None of the games are about him blending in with humans. So like, I think they did a decent enough job of explaining why he's here and why he doesn't have any friends.
Yeah, to me, James Marsden and his whole plot seemed to be less. Less sensical. It really was just like a way for Jim Carrey to do the most Jim Carrey-ness of it.
Yes.
Like him to just really get into the character and be like absolutely crazy, which he was like the funniest part by far. Yeah,
he was Sonic, so good.
Yeah, Sonic would come in and do some weird pop culture jokes about like how he needs a lift, like, and all these other like very strange references that were not geared towards the universe. These weren't like situationally comedic moments. They're like, I'm going to say something that is very clearly a joke for you people in the audience.
Yep.
And then it would get mild laughs, but it was still like, I saw this movie, I think on a Monday, and it was the most packed I've seen like a Monday theater in a long time.
Damn. Yeah. People wanted to see this movie.
People went out to see this movie, obviously by the dollars in the box office bank account. It's currently the third highest grossing film of 2020. Which doesn't make any sense. Bad Boys for Life, I guess, is the first. And Doolittle is technically the second.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Doolittle made over 200. But Sonic has made as much in its second weekend as Doolittle has in its entire run.
Yeah. So Sonic is going to be, it's going to be the highest grossing film for a while, I think.
Yeah.
Because this is going to continue to make money.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, it's hard to like what else to say. If you're an adult and you have kids and you go to see this movie, you're going to be like, well, that was fine.
Yeah. It's like if you need to kill 2 hours, like actually this is like a 90 minute movie.
Right. Which you can tell that because they had to like redo all of Sonic, they probably cut out a lot of scenes,
which I think probably helped. Like, I think having this short of a runtime is beneficial to this film.
Yeah, I think the best parts of the movie were the ones that were the scenes where it was similar to the Quicksilver scenes in the Fox X-Men movies.
Those were fun.
Where time slows down and Sonic is portrayed as this, not like lazy, but kind of indifferent. Like, I've got so much time.
Yeah.
And I can just do whatever I want.
He's just the fastest being alive.
He's the fastest being. And that's what I wish they would get into more. Because that's my favorite part about Quicksilver and those movies, honestly. Like, those scenes are some of the best in the movie, where Quicksilver is just so bored with life because everyone is going so slow all the time to him. And that's how Sonic should be. He's like, I am just going so fast.
He just doesn't give a shit. He can eat 12 chili dogs in a second.
Yeah. I didn't really get how Dr. Robotnik, what his kind of motivation was, other than he seems like a fringe, like, insane person who is linked to a coup in Pakistan.
Yeah, which is hilarious. That was, like, one of the funniest moments, I think, in the movie to me, when they're describing, like, it's like, do you know why, like, what was it, the revolution in some, like, made-up Middle Eastern country? And they're like, that's not a real country. And he's like, exactly.
Yeah.
You have Robotnik to thank for that.
Right. And I'm like, okay, this is sure, this is like fun. I like how they were playing with it.
Yeah.
And I guess they did the appropriate amount. Like, what am I expecting? Like a very highbrow Sonic movie?
Yeah. Again, like, because I think, again, my stand, not only is this like it's a kid's movie, but it's also a video game adaptation. So my standards were already incredibly low going into this. And just the fact that it wasn't a train wreck and I actually had like a decent time watching the movie made me just like happy. It just, I left the movie happy. I'm like, I can't believe that I don't want to kill myself right now.
Yeah. Because this had the potential to be like one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life.
Yes, absolutely. And it, like, the trailer, like, every, the whole time I was watching the movie, I was just thinking of like, would this have worked with Nightmare Sonic? And the answer is no.
I do kind of want to see Nightmare Sonic. I want to see the movie with, like, I don't know if I would ever see this movie again unless they release the Nightmare Sonic
probably
version.
I would love if they actually made that like a bonus feature on the Blu-ray when this movie gets in the Criterion Collection. They have a Nightmare version.
I'd be down, honestly. Yeah, but I do think the new animation, like, it looks so much better.
Mm-hmm.
It's worlds better, it's cleaner, it's cute. Yeah, it's cute. It's in the same way I think they went when we first saw the Pikachu and Detective Pikachu, we're like, oh wow, this is interesting. But during the movie, you're like, oh, this is cute. Like, yeah. I'm into him being fuzzy. And then it was almost the opposite, where we saw like how fuzzy Sonic was. We're like, ah, I don't like that. That's weird. And they made him more cartoony. And I think
Sonic does not need, like, he doesn't need like human eyeballs and human teeth. Like, you don't need to anthropomorphize him that much. Just give him arms and legs. You're good.
100%.
Yeah. Connect his eyeballs like they do in the video game. Like, it doesn't fucking matter.
So what is the next video game adaptation? Like, what do we want to see next? You specifically, I think you would have a good insight in this. What do you think could be as successful as Sonic? Either you can stay with like the kids version, you can go more like teenage, or like full adult. Like, what do you think would be, is the next option for a video game movie?
There's too many options, but I'll tell you what the next video game movie we're getting is, regardless of whether we want it or not. It's the Uncharted movie with Tom Holland.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's happening. And I hate it because it's like Uncharted is already a movie. Why are you doing this?
Right. To me, that just sounds like an Indiana Jones like ripoff, yeah. Which I know everyone called Uncharted Dude Raider when it first came out. But this almost like begs the question of every movie game that's been released so far that's done not very well,
mm-hmm.
has been a game that has a very solid plot.
Yes.
And Sonic may have a solid plot. I have no idea.
I don't think
honestly.
It does. I don't think those games have any plot, really.
But I think that's the move. I mean, you even see with Resident Evil, like, they loosely follow some plot points.
Yeah, maybe for like the first movie. I don't know. I haven't played too many Resident Evil games, and I definitely haven't seen the movies. So I don't know. But I do think that, like, I would love to see like give me a Bloodborne movie where like there is like a plot, there's a world that is defined, but the plot is so vague, there's no like through line narrative, and you have to learn it just through like environmental storytelling and flavor text. Like, I think those are like the best games you could make into a movie, because you can add a narrative to that world that the games don't. Also, the aesthetic is so fucking cool.
Yeah, the gothic Victorian era.
Yeah,
I think that's very cool, and that is, the looser the plot, the better. We all know there's like a Metal Gear Solid script like floating around
that Jordan Vaught Roberts is supposed to be directing.
Yeah, and it's like that sounds like an awful idea, because Metal Gear Solid is so convoluted and
although
bonkers
it sounds hilarious, and like Oscar Isaac as Solid Snake, I'd see it.
I'd buy it.
Yeah, I'd go for it.
I don't think I'm going to buy stock. I'll short that stock for sure.
Yeah.
But I am all in on seeing it. I will sign up day one. I think there's also like a Splinter Cell script going around, which seems to be more plausible.
I mean, at least Tom Clancy, there are Tom Clancy movies that exist, and Splinter Cell is just like a Tom Clancy book in video game form. So I think you could make that into a movie pretty easily.
yeah, here's the character, here's a random plot about some random South American country.
Also, we're getting a Division movie with Jake Gyllenhaal. That's a Netflix original.
That sounds like a Netflix original.
Yeah.
Will it be better than Triple Frontier? I doubt
No, Triple Frontier is fucking great. So
yeah, I feel like I've revisited Triple Frontier and it still holds up. Reevaluated my opinion. It's really great.
Yeah, it's J.C. Chandor, man. He's a real director.
Yeah, he knows how to do it. Yeah. So other than that, your last thoughts on Sonic the Hedgehog?
Honestly, if you like this franchise or you just want to you just want to kill some hours in the theater.
Do people hold on? Hey, so I got one more thing. Do people like this franchise? Have you ever met someone who's a fan of the Sonic games?
This franchise.
You know people who like Sonic?
Yes.
Okay.
And
I don't
they're
know
the
anybody.
Saddest people because they're like, it's like they're in an abusive relationship because the games keep coming out and like every like six games you get a good one and then the next six are just fucking trash.
Oh,
but
God.
they stay in that relationship because they're like, he can be good sometimes.
Yeah, I've seen the best of him.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. So this kid's movie, what are your last thoughts on it?
Yeah, it's fine. Honestly, like I went in with super low expectations and I came out smiling. I'm like, you know, this wasn't that bad. And I kind of like, I just love Jim Carrey so much. And really brings it in this movie. Like if anything, just see it for Jim Carrey and see it for, in my opinion, probably the best product placement that we're going to get this year because it's actually hilarious and not just like weird and cheesy like Michael Bay product placement is.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I 100% agree.
When you're here,
it is
your family.
Yeah. The way that they just like work it in, I was like, is this really like product placement?
Yeah.
Or is this like
this is
did
so,
they write this in?
Yeah, this is so stupid and funny. Like, I can't believe this is real product placement. I mean, kill two birds with one stone because it was funny and I'm sure they got paid to do that too.
Right. Because immediately I was like, maybe I should go. I should take Lucy and I. We should go.
Unlimited breadsticks.
Any second.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unlimited breadsticks. I'm all in. So. I agree. I think I'm slightly colder on it than you, where I came in with pretty like managed expectations and it met those maybe a little bit better than I thought. Cause I kind of thought it was gonna be a train wreck.
Yeah.
And it was not a train wreck. That doesn't mean it's like a good movie, but it's fine. It gets the job done.
Yeah.
I'm more interested, I think, to see the second one if they nail out a plot. Cause this one didn't really have a plot. It was like the government needs to get this fast thing.
It was a road trip movie.
Yeah. With a fast hedgehog. I think the next movie could actually have potential.
I want them to get weird. I want them to leave small town America. Like, they know the movie's successful. They can do a budget. Go back to like his alien worlds. Like, I want to see a movie in Green Hill Zone or whatever fucking
mushroom
planet.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck is happening over there.
Yeah, like, because it seems like they're setting it up. Like, Sonic's mom is an owl in this movie. like all those tribes people that kill her look like Knuckles the Echidna. So I'm like, all right, so they're setting something up here. They want to get a universe going.
Yeah, something's going on.
And like,
I'm all in.
I loved Robotnik's look at the end of the movie. Like, I'm like, ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is accurate.
His Apocalypse Now.
Yes. Oh, man. Oh, I fucking love Jim Carrey. I'm just glad he's back.
Yeah, I want more. I want more of him. And if it's another Sonic movie,
I'll take it, man.
Is what it takes.
Put it
I'll
in my
take
mouth.
It. Yeah. So next week, we'll be watching the newest Blumhouse feature, The Invisible Man. I'm pretty excited for this, starring Elizabeth Moss.
Same.
Yeah. I've heard good things
from director Leigh Whannell. Do you see Upgrade?
Yeah. Oh, I love Upgrade. Dude, Upgrade is so good.
The Upgrade is so good, and he's gonna kill it with Invisible Man too. What a guy.
What a guy. I'm all in. I'm excited. I think this will be one of the better movies that we've seen this year. On a $7 million budget.
Hell yeah. Subscribe for those updates.
Yeah,
on Spotify.
Exactly. All right. Well, tune in next week. Nuts. We'll be back at you with some of The Invisible Man.